Very good morning to you, Namibia. Very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Welcome to your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and also your favorite show, Unpacking the Day. Thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this to be in your company this morning, and it's always our pleasure. It's always our pleasure to be in your company. We love being in your company, and thank you for joining me at this point in time. Thank you, David, for handing over the mic to the big mic. So, good morning, and welcome. The weather is quite pretty good. It's quite pretty good. It's not cold today. It's surprising that things are changing, man. We're used to those winters that are really, you know, where you're freezing your, you know, your body freezes. I nearly said something that I shouldn't have said. Yeah, so, all right. So, yeah, it's a good weather. It's a good weather. It's not cold. I think it's going to be hot. I think it's going to be hot this morning. So, all right. So how is your morning? How is your morning so far? Wherever you are listening us from. I'm missing, you know, Katima people. So how are you doing? So there was Mr. What is his name? You know, was a regular listener. Or caller. So if you're listening, please, I am missing you. And I'm telling you now, I'm missing you. So good morning, Katima Mulilo. So good morning, Rundu. Ngapione. Good morning, the South. Where are you? I'm missing you too as well. I'm missing the South as well. So good morning to you. Good morning, the capital. And good morning to, yeah, the coast. And good morning the north. And I'm missing you in the north as well. So good morning to you. Welcome. So my name is Big Mike, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, business news, economic news, and political news. So, and every weekday we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories. You know, trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that matters and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning. If you're just joining us, you're just right in the door as we start the show. So all right, as usual, we look at today's the 25th of June, and our first segment in the show is, you know, on this day in Africa, what happened, what events that took place on this very day in Africa. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are tuning in from across this beautiful, beautiful continent. Welcome to On This Day in Africa, your daily trip through history. Well, today, as I said, we're turning the page, we're turning the calendar page to June 25. So let's dive in, and here is what happened on this day in Africa. So cast your mind back to June 25, 1975. After 10 long years of fighting, Mozambique finally said goodbye to Portuguese colonial rule and hello to independence. The liberation was led by Frelimo, Front for the Liberation of Mozambique, and stepping into the spotlight as the country's first president was none other than Samora Machel. Now, this was not just another Independence Day on the calendar. So this was huge, one of the big ones, and the kind of moment that still get talked about in history classroom across Africa today. So, and speaking of which, every single year on this exact day, Mozambican, they throw a party. They throw a party, flags waving, music playing, because people are celebrating the birth of their nation. It is their Independence Day today. And of course, as always, they wear it proudly. So, and fast forward now to June 25, 1999, South Africa's president at the time, which was actually President Thabo Mbeki, what step up and announce something new. He launched a special crime fighting unit. And this is not just any unit. This one get the name that actually sticks, the Scorpion, you know. And this was an elite team of investigators. What was their job? We're mentioning here because it was elite investigator, and they go after the big fish. So organized crime, corruption, the cases that everyone else was too scared to, you know, to touch. So this was the elite, the team that was actually called into actions. You know, think of them as the Avengers of the law enforcement in South Africa at the time. So high profile offenses, that was their playground. So the Scorpion in South Africa. So, and on this day, and now let's bring it right up to the present, June 25th, 2025. On this day, Kenyan marked one full year since something powerful happened in 2024. Mass protests, you remember that? Thousands of people flooding the street, angry about what? About tax hikes that was happening, frustrated by the cost of living, demanding better from their government. So yeah, that mass protest actually shook the country, and it made headlines around the world. Now, and 1 year later, people were back out there again, not just protesting, but remembering, commemorating, showing that the conversation about governance, about police accountability, about whether ordinary people are getting a fair deal, those attacks aren't over, and they are still very much alive. Well, so there you have it, my dear people, my dear listener. June 25, a day of freedom in Mozambique, a day of fighting crime in South Africa, and a day of reflection in Kenya. So this has been On This Day in Africa. So thanks for listening. All right. So our time is 11 minutes past the hour of 8. And it's a Thursday morning. So, Thursday morning, June the 25th. 25th. Yeah, there are some people that are paid today. People took away. Tuningening ukumina uyu. Ukumena ukale pongo akwetu. All right. Ukumena ukale pongo. So, all right. So, yeah, good morning. And here's your thought, to start your day. Now, there's an old African proverb that says the hyena chasing two gazelles At the same time, will go to bed hungry. Hyena chasing two gazelles, two gazelles, at the same time, will go to bed hungry. Now, it's a simple reminder that we cannot do everything at once. You know, too often we spread ourselves too thin, that we end up actually making a little progress on the things that matter most. Now, whether it's your work, your finances, your studies, your personal goals, focus matters. The focus, really, being focused, matters. When we chase too many things at the same time, we risk missing all of them. Yeah? In some cases, you may risk missing all of them. So today, ask yourself, okay, what is the one goal, the one task, or one opportunity that deserves your full attention right now? So because sometimes success is not about doing more. It's about focusing on what matters most and seeing it through. It's about focusing on what matters most and seeing it through. So that's our thought for the day this morning. So thanks for joining us and welcome. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. All right. What are you looking forward to? What are you looking forward to in the show this morning? Today we talked about this yesterday. I wanted to have someone on this yesterday, but I couldn't. So I got him. I have a guest this morning. We're looking at a parliamentary inquiry into lending practices that has exposed Namibian growing household debt crisis. You know, and now the lawmakers are questioning whether current laws sufficiently protect borrowers from exploitations. So we're going to speak to the chairperson of the committee that heading the parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Honorable Shimi, just probably in 16 minutes. At 8:30, we will be talking to him. So make sure that you stay tuned for that interview. So coming up just in 16 minutes or so. And the Micro Lender Association, the MLA, also Navova Jamo Kalungu, they also shouted out that they has rejected claims that the micro lenders are responsible for Namibia debt crisis, and they attribute the situation to the problem to weaker personal saving and and multiple credit sources and a broader socioeconomic pressures rather than from predatory lending practices. So we're going to get into that leading up to my conversation or my interview with Honorable Shimi. So stay tuned. And of course, your participation is also a part of the show as usual. If it's your first time, so make sure that you unpack this with me and you get involved, okay? You get involved. So, good morning and welcome, and we'll be back in a second.
Omutiha kutekirwa kakuna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana naana longe shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe, yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omupashipareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onarahita tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yeah, that's very true. This is your number one talk radio station. And if you want to stay connected with Eagle FM anywhere, anytime, so what do you have to do? Wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, you can listen to Eagle FM. And you can only do that. You can do it many ways. Your one is that, well, you can listen to Eagle FM from our website. So you go to Eagle FM website. You can be able to listen to us live, coming to you live on the website. And also, you can do that by downloading the Eagle FM mobile app. So, and you can download that from your from Google Play or from your Play Store. And with that, you are connected. You are connected with Eagle and with Eagle FM anywhere in the world. Not even in the world, on the planet. Anywhere in the universe, not just on the planet, but in the universe. So, and the good thing about the mobile app, the Eagle FM mobile app, is that if you are busy, that you're not be able to listen at this point in time, you can always go back and listen to the podcast of every programs that's coming through Eagle FM. So yeah, and there are so many other things that you know, so many features on the mobile app as well. So welcome if you're just joining us. Please do follow us as well. Do follow Eagle FM and The Villager on our social media platforms, and make sure you leave a comment. Make sure that you engage with us. We are on X, we are on LinkedIn, we are on Instagram, we are on Facebook, and also a WhatsApp channel. So if you want the latest business and economic news, you know, go to those social media platforms. All right, so good morning and welcome back to Unpacking the Day, the show where we sit down, with the people that are making the headlines. All right, so now the Microlenders Association has rejected claims that the microlenders are responsible for Namibia's debt crisis, attributing now the problem to weak personal saving and multiple credit sources and broader socioeconomic pressure rather than actually that they are predatory lending practices. Now, so what we need to do is also it's hearing from people, on the other side of the table. Okay, we're going to hear from the chairperson of the committee that is actually the parliamentary committee that's dealing with this issue. And last week, the representatives from the micro lenders association appeared before parliamentary standing committee on economics and industry. In a 15-page submission, they argue that the growing debt problem is not their fault, and they pointed to poor saving habits, other creditors, and the state of the economy. The state of the economy. And even the payroll, this is something that's mostly spoken, the payroll deduction system created by government as some of the main causes. So, and as we always do on this show, so we're going to unpack their argument, all right? We're going to unpack their argument. We are going to listen to all sides of the debate, And then we are going to ask the question that matter, the question that matter most to you, people at home, you listeners at home. Who is really paying the price in all of this? So who is paying the price in all of this? Well, stay with me, okay? And we will be, you know, back after this.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 23 minutes past the hour of 8. And yeah, before we get into this, let me give you some background so we all on the very same page. Last year, Member of Parliament in Ahengari brought a motion to the National Assembly. At the heart of that emotion was a simple but important question. Are Namibian's law doing enough actually to protect civil servant from getting trapped in debt through microlenders? That was actually the question. Is Namibia law doing enough to protect civil servant or workers from getting trapped into debt through microlenders? So the question was then referred to the Parliamental Standing Committee on Economics and Economics and Industry, which has been holding public hearing on the issue. Now, then on June 16th, just over a week ago, the Microlender Association, which represents registered cash loan companies, sent a 15-page submission to the committee through their lawyer, Charles Visser. So they made one thing very, very, very clear. They do not accept that registered microlenders should be blamed for Namibia debt problem. Now, here's the number that sit at the center of that debate. Now, according to NAMFISA, Namibia total housing debt stood at 78 billion at the end of 2025. Of that amount, roughly 7.5 to 7.8 billion is linked to the microlenders. Now, the rest come from things like home loans, vehicle finances, credit cards, and other form of borrowing. So when the Micro Lenders Association say we are only responsible for about 10% of the debt, well, the number does support that argument, really. So, but here's the question we need to think to ask this morning. Now, is 10% of 78 billion really, is that a really small amount? Is that still a small amount? And more importantly, whose debt, who's actually debt makes up that 10%? Who are the people that make up that that percent? Whose debt, which people actually owe, who are those that are included in 10%? So that's where this conversation actually started. All right? So there's a human story on this story. And before we get deeper into the argument and the numbers, let me tell you about a person at the center of this story. Now, her name is Lydia Ujombala. According to reports in the newspapers, She worked as a senior cleaner at the Katutura Intermediate Hospital and earns about 4,000 a month. Just think about that for a moment. 4,000 a month. So out of that money, you still have to pay for rent, transport, food, school expenses, whatever that case may be. So family emergency sometimes happen without unannounced. You know, all the unexpected costs that life throw sometime at you unexpectedly. So when Lydia appeared before the parliamentary committee, she explained that taking out loans is not something she does because she wants to. You know, she does it because she feels she has no other options. Now she said many people are simply trying to survive. So the whole phenomenon, it's people trying to survive. Now, Lydia described how eventually some people becomes so heavily indebted that lenders stop giving them loans because they are blacklisted. So when that happened, then they tend to what? They tend to friends, they tend to colleagues for help, just to get through the month. So, and then payday comes, instead of bringing relief, in most cases, as it's 25th, was also a payday. So when the payday comes, instead of actually bringing the relief, that the salary disappear into debt repayment. And before you know it, your entire payslip is gone. Now, Lydia is not just another name in a newspaper article. So Lydia is your neighbor in Katutura. Lydia is the woman cleaning the hospital where your family received treatment. Lydia is the relative who sent a message a few days before a payday asking to borrow 100 until the end of the month. You know, and that's why this conversation matters, because behind every debt statistic is a real person trying to make an ends meet. So let me ask you this, okay? Let me ask you, how many of you listening recognize Lydia's story? How many of you have lived it yourself or watched someone close to you going through this? All right, we'll be back and we're going to look for Honorable Shimi. So we're going to back.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, a very good morning, Namibia, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day, the show where we sit down with the people shaping the decision that touch your everyday life. A parliamentary inquiry has put Namibia's growing household debt problem under the spotlight, with concern that some workers are taking home only a small portion of their salaries after loan deductions. Now, the inquiry is examining whether current lending practices are helping people access credit responsibly or whether they are trapping many Namibians in a cycle of debt. Now, recent parliamentary hearing have highlighted growing concern about the impact of household debt, particularly among civil servants. Now, joining us this morning is the chairperson of Parliament's Standing Committee on Economic, Industry, Public Administration and Planning, Honourable Ipumbu Shimi, who is leading this important inquiry into housing and to household debt and lending practices. Honourable Shimi, good morning, and thank you for joining us on Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me.
All right, Honourable, let's start at the very beginning. What led the Parliament to launch this inquiry into lending practice, and was there a specific event, and was it a growing concern over time? I understand that there was a motion that actually. That was actually placed in the Parliament. So, specifically, was this has become then a growing concern over time that the Parliament decided to launch an inquiry?
Yes, absolutely. You are correct to say this was a motion that was tabled in Parliament. Now, parliamentarians are just people like you. So they live in the society, they live with the community. Mm. They understand the community issues. So one member of parliament, then because of the observation that, you know, civil servants are highly indebted, one member of parliament, Honorable Hengari, tabled a motion for parliament to debate, how to deal with this matter. First of all, whether it's a concern that parliament has to look into, and secondly, debate on measures to, address this issue. So that's how it landed on the agenda of Parliament. So now once Parliament debates a particular subject, a particular matter, and if Parliament believes that it needs to be investigated further, National Assembly in this case, National Assembly will refer it to a standing committee because National Assembly has various standing committees.
Yeah.
And they will therefore determine which committee is most relevant to further investigate this matter. So that's how it landed on the agenda of the committee that that I'm chairing, the committee that you just mentioned of the economy, industries, public administration, planning. So our committee was given that task to investigate this further, to conduct inquiries, and then give a report back to Parliament or to the National Assembly in this case.
Mm. So I believe so far you have heard from lenders, regulators, labor representatives, and probably from ordinary citizens. What was the most shocking or worrying thing that came out of the public hearing, or are you still actually doing the public hearing?
Well, the conversation and the dialogue with them. With different stakeholders is still continuing. So we have covered some good ground so far. As you have mentioned, we have talked to the regulators, be it the Ministry of Finance, NAMFISA, Bank of Namibia. We have also heard from the Ministry responsible for labor. We have heard from the Prime Minister's office. We have also heard from representatives of unions. We still have some unions to cover. But we also then heard from the lenders themselves. Last Friday we have had an engagement with the micro lenders associations.
Yeah.
So the inquiry is still ongoing. We hope to go to the regions in the next couple of weeks, probably in July or August. And that will then conclude the inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
So you asked what was the most shocking thing. Well, probably not shocking because I have been observing this matter for quite a while.
Yeah.
I was privileged to have overseen an investigation when I was the Minister of Finance to look into, you know, the income of civil servants who are indebted. That's an investigation that the Minister of Finance has already conducted.
Mm.
So I had some of this data already, that civil servants, a number of civil servants go home with little money because a significant part of the money is taken away by the borrowers, because the borrowers are able to deduct, or there is a system that enables the borrowers to deduct directly from the people's salaries.
Yeah.
To a certain extent that, people go home with a very, very low salary. Some even go home with 1,000, some with 500 and things like that. So the information that we have gathered so far really just helped to support the view that I already had.
Mm.
And it just strengthened the concern that something needs to be done, because this is not a healthy situation.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you have some data that reflecting actually this problem. What data is the committee relying on to measure the true extent of household debt in Namibia?
Yeah. So different multiple sources. So first of all, the overall debt to civil servants is known.
Yeah.
Because these figures are, or the overall lending of the macro lenders, it's known because these figures are published by NAMFISA. So
okay.
These are public. Mm. This is public information.
Yeah.
The information that is usually published does not disaggregate between those that are members of the civil service and those that are not members of the civil service.
Mm.
So that data we are able to get from the Minister of Finance. We are able to get from the office of the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
And therefore we are looking at this, at all these sources of data to be able to make our case in the sense, to understand what's the extent of the problem. And therefore specifically with civil servants, with that data coming from the Minister of Finance, as I said, there was already an investigation. That investigation is very helpful to inform the inquiry and inform the members of parliament who are sitting on this committee inquiring into this matter. So these different sources of data is what we are using at the moment.
Yeah. Now, if this was not an emotion in the parliament and the government and then the parliament then launch the inquiry, how would this still be an issue that we would pay attention to? What I want to ask is that how widespread is this problem among civil servants and other workers? Is this a really an issue that would have been actually looked at in other way, even if it was not in motion in Parliament?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so in the sense that, as I said, when I was already the Minister of Finance, this is something that we have already been looking into. So this is definitely something that has been on the radar of policymakers already.
Yeah.
Secondly, you may have heard, I believe last year or towards the end of last year, or maybe somewhere mid last year, when the Minister of Finance decided that they are no longer going to allow direct deduction from people's salaries.
Mm.
It's out of that concern that the problem is widespread, because when you look at the data, so you have low-income earners who have got multiple loans, and they're able to get multiple loans because lenders don't have to do an affordability test.
Yeah.
They don't have to see whether this person has got enough income to repay the money.
Yeah.
Because the lender knows the repayment will be done by the employer. In this case, it will be government. Because the government has now become the agent of the lender to collect money from the civil servant.
Yeah.
So the problem is widespread, especially among the low income earners in government. And therefore it calls for some measures that have to be taken. As I said already, yes, it's something that has already been on the radar. Minister of Finance took a decision. This matter is in court, I believe. I would not want to, I don't have much details about where the court process is.
Yeah.
But I believe the macro lenders or some of the borrowers took the ministry to court because they felt that the ministry have not followed procedures or something like that. But it's something that policymakers have already taken action on.
Yeah. So many people hear this deduction system, and not really many know exactly what it is. It just in a simple way, in a simple term. So what is exactly that? Just for somebody who may not are familiar with that.
Yeah. Essentially, what it means is that I lend you money, and I have an agreement with your employer that on a monthly basis, the employer is going to deduct money from your salary before the employer sends your salary to your bank account.
Yeah.
Because all employees have got bank accounts, I believe. And mostly deductions when you are paying for your house, when you are paying for your car, those deductions are made from your bank account. In this case, the money for the micro lenders or the ones that are lending directly to civil servant.
Yeah.
The money doesn't have to go to the bank for the lender to get its money. So the employer, in this case, government, will deduct money from your salary and pay directly to the lender. So that's what deduction is, deduction code is called. I mean, it's all about.
Yeah.
It's basically the employer and employer has an arrangement with the lender, the person who gave you the money, to deduct money directly from your salary. And in that way, so the lender is not going to compete with other borrowers, because the other borrowers will have to wait until the money lands into the bank account. This one, in this case, the money before it goes to the bank account, she or he has already gotten his money back.
Yeah.
So that's what the deduction code is all about.
Okay, why it has become a concern now, given this situation, why it has become a concern now?
Very good question. So obviously, when this system was introduced, there were good reasons why the system was introduced.
Yeah.
The system was introduced because there was a concern that, low-income earners specifically don't have access to finance. If they want to borrow for emergencies or maybe they want to send their children to school and things like that,
yeah,
you and I will probably go to a bank and get an overdraft. They don't have that access. It's difficult for them to have an overdraft and things like that. And the number of them were not even banked at that time. So there was then a decision taken.
Yeah.
That, okay, to help them to get access to finance, let the employer agree with the lenders that lenders will be allowed to lend the money, but the employer will also then enable lenders to recover their money from by deducting directly from the people's salaries. So that was the goal. That was the objective. But I think it came with unintended consequences in such a way that it really created a conducive environment for lenders to prey on these civil servants, because you don't have to check whether the person can afford.
Yeah.
Whether you are now taking 70% of the person's income or 80% of the person's income. So naturally, if I'm under financial stress, and I know I have access to loans, I would just borrow. I would borrow from this institution Once I have reached the limit of this institution, I will go to the next other institution. So you will find our civil servants, especially low-income earners, having 7 loans from different institutions.
Yeah.
Because the institutions know that they are going to recover their money. So that was the overall objective at the beginning, but it came with unintended consequences.
Yeah. So there is also a perception that the micro lenders are kind of exploiting, you know, the borrowers, and the micro lending associations say its members are operating under strict regulations. So, in your view, how effective are those regulations in protecting consumers?
Yes, there's truth to what the micro lenders are saying, in the sense that most of the micro lenders, the registered micro lenders, you know, operate under strict supervision of the regulator. In this case, it will be NAMFISA. They will have to charge loans, I mean, interest that are approved by NAMFISA. But there are two things, there are two concerns that that I see there. One, not all the micro lenders have access to people's salaries. Those ones I will not have a challenge with, I will not have a problem with them. Because they will have to be forced, they will be forced to do a proper affordability test before they lend somebody money.
Yeah.
Because they will, yeah, so they will have to wait until the money lends into the person's bank account. So therefore they will have to check whether the person will have enough income to be able to afford the loan. So those ones I'm not concerned about, because and they are the majority.
Yeah.
I believe only few micro lenders, and I believe only 10 have access to what we call the deduction code. In other words, are allowed to deduct money directly from our civil servants' salaries. So those are the ones that I'm specifically worried about, because they have access to people's salaries, and they don't have to do a proper risk assessment before they lend money. In other words, conducting affordability tests whether the person is able to afford the loan. So and they are not many. As I said, there are only 10, and I believe they only account for about 12% of the total loans, or total loans that have been extended to Namibians.
Yeah.
But when you look at civil servants, I believe we are still collecting this data, but I believe they will account for most loans that go to civil servants, because they have got access to the kitty. They have access to the people's salary. So that's what we are concerned about. And in addition, what we are worried about is also the interest charged, especially by this one, by micro lenders who have got access to people's salaries.
Yeah.
So you charge, if you borrow, for instance, for a period of 5 years or less, you are charged an interest in an interest of about 30%. Of course, that is allowed by law.
Yeah.
The debate then starts whether is that the right level? Should we adjust the law, or should it remain at 30%? In my view, we'll have to start a conversation. They will have to review that level of interest. Micro lenders are pushing back, saying that, you know, they are also incurring costs and things like that. But in this case, your risk is almost zero in my assessment, because the person, you know, you don't have to wait for the person's money to go to the bank account. It's that deducted directly by the employer, and therefore, the risk of default is almost zero. So that's one. So then you have another category. Of micro lenders who are lending for a period of more than 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, five months, between 5 months and 5 years. And they are allowed to charge what is called prime times two. Now, prime is the rate given, the interest given to customers who are seen to be, able to be, you know, who are almost, so to speak, assessed as the strongest borrowers.
Yeah.
So you are a stronger borrower. I'm not worried about the risk of you defaulting, because, you know, your income is good. You have other assets. If you are not able to pay your loans, I know I can get hold of your assets and things like that. Those are the prime customers.
Mm.
In other words, the risk-free customer, so to speak. So for you to be given a prime rate is because you are a risk-free customer, and then therefore you are seem to be able to afford that loan.
Yeah.
Now, if you are lending to somebody and you are able to recover your money from a person's salary, this person should, in my view, should be a prime customer.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
the risk of default is almost zero. So, but in this case, they are allowed to charge prime times two. So in other words, if you are a prime customer at your bank, and I am a person who is a civil servant who is borrowing from a micro lender, I pay twice much as you will pay at your bank. You see the difference?
Yeah.
In my view, I should actually pay less than you because my risk is even lower because the person has got access to my salary.
Mm.
So I think that's where the conversation needs to start. The law, yes, is there, but the law probably has to be reviewed. So that's one. The second thing is I think there are also, in the existing laws, there are some gaps that we have to address.
Yeah.
What do we do with unregistered micro lenders? Because there are those who are operating outside the radar of the regulator.
Yeah.
Because they are not registered.
Mm.
How do we ensure that we bring them in the regulatory net? I think that's something that we also need to look at. I believe the ministry together with NAFRISA is now busy concluding the Consumer Protection Bill, and I hope we are looking forward to receive that bill in Parliament so that we can strengthen the law.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of the law, I think those are the things that need to happen.
Yeah, and those that are not registered, how do they contribute actually to this problem? And do you have an idea how many are out there that are not registered and the impact that they have?
That's a good question because and unfortunately illegal activities are illegal and therefore they are under the radar. You're not be able to know how many they are. You're not be able to know how many. What's the value of money that they have lent to people? Because if this is happening. You know, outside the regulatory system, nobody's collecting that data. They are actually doing it in the dark. So
yeah.
We will not be able to have information on their activities, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's a danger. So in other words, the indebtedness that we are talking about, it's based on the information that is collected from those who are registered. Now, if you add on top of that, people who are not registered, that means the situation is actually worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the situation we'll have to address.
Yeah, is the looking at these whole problems, are they particular? Say for example, a region or a profession, or maybe an income group that appear to be more affected by than others. Do you think there is more a profession or income group or even maybe a region that is more affected compared to others?
Well, I don't think this is a region-specific problem.
Yeah.
It's probably, I would want to say, it's probably more acute among civil servants who are mainly also low-income civil servants.
Yeah.
But, I think that's where the problem is more widespread. But, it's particularly among civil servants, it's across the board. But I believe... I still have to get more information on that, but I believe it's more widespread among the low income earners in public service.
Yeah.
But it's across the country.
Yeah. So now the other thing is also that debt definitely doesn't only affect a person's bank account, but also impact the household. In terms of family, in terms of mental health and overall quality of life, anything from your hearing that these issues are coming out?
Absolutely. So you're right to say that this has become a societal problem.
Yeah.
So the testimonies that we are getting are suggesting that families are stressed. because they have multiple loans that have to be paid back. They go home with not much money.
Mm.
And the result is also resulting in public health. You know, we are hearing some anecdotal, information about, you know, people are committing suicide, and that could also be linked to the high indebtedness. The fact that people have, are highly indebted, that's giving them financial stress, and that's why some people may even commit suicide. So this has actually become a widespread problem. It has become a societal problem, and therefore we have to find a way of addressing the problem.
Mm. Yeah, and also as we see now, many Namibians really do rely on credit just to get by or to get through the month. So how will the committee ensure that any reform are practical and they do not actually make life even harder for the struggling households?
Yeah, so that's a very difficult question. So hopefully when we get there, we will have answers for you. But I think essentially solutions are in addressing the level of interest rate that lenders lend or earn on these loans that they are lending to, particularly to civil servants.
Mm.
As I said already, a 30% or prime plus prime multiplied by two is in my view probably something that needs to be reviewed.
Yeah,
because if you, for instance, borrow 1,000. And you are going to pay prime times two. So in prime is, I think, in the region of 10 point something now. So you'll end up paying 20% a year. Now, if it's 1,000 20% a year, that means 100 a year. So and if it's over a period of 5 years, you may actually end up paying back more than what you, or close to what you have borrowed, which is very high.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and therefore, I think we need to start a conversation there whether that level of interest is correct. That's one. The second area where we need to focus on, in my view, is whether lenders should have direct access to people's salaries.
Yeah.
So, or should they just compete with any other lender? Because the majority of the lenders wait until the money lends into somebody's accounts, and then they will have them, what is called debit orders, stop orders, and things like that. That's how they get their money. Just like other people who get, where we pay money to on a monthly basis, like when you have insurance policies, those insurance premiums are deducted from our bank account, not from our salaries.
Yeah.
And, so I think that's.
The other thing is that those lenders that are getting their money directly from the salaries, why is actually their interest rate is actually higher? Because there's no risk there, because they get their money directly.
Exactly. That's the conversation that we have to start. Those are the questions that we have to ask.
Yeah.
Your risk is zero, it's almost zero, but yet you are charging an interest the equivalent or similar to what somebody else is charging, who waits for the money to come to my bank account.
Mm.
So I think there has to be a differentiation. If you are going to have access to a code, the code must continue, then maybe we have to have a conversation whether interest should be times two, or whether it should actually be below prime.
Mm. What is the role of the employer? Should employers, especially now in the public sectors, have more maybe responsibility when employees take out loans that are repaid directly, especially those who are repaid directly from the salary? Should employer have more responsibility?
Certainly, the employer has got a responsibility because in terms of the labor law, there's a provision in the labor law that says employer should not allow deductions from a person's salary to exceed one third, which is about 33% of the person's basic salary.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So the employer has got that duty. But I think in this case, there are many, many reasons why that provision of the law has not been respected. And I think that's also an area that we have to look at. For instance, you know, you may say, okay, this is a person, this is the one third of the person's salary, and the person has reached that limit. But then you get a court order, for instance, that says the person also needs to pay for maintenance of the children.
Yeah.
So that court order will not be ignored, or cannot be ignored, because it's a court instruction.
Yeah.
So we will have to find a way of dealing with some of these issues to ensure that the employers do not violate that specific provision of the labor law.
Mm. And how much is on? It's depend on individual, on the borrower. So I'm thinking in terms of, you know, how important is maybe financial literacy and education is helping people to manage their debt and making informed borrowing decisions.
Correct. That's a very, very important question. So I think so far we have only been talking about the responsibilities of the lender, the responsibility of the employer.
Yeah.
But there's also responsibility resting on the borrower.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we have, because of life pressures, we run to the lenders to get money. Sometimes for the basic forces, sometimes for basic for things that may not be important. I think it's important that we are part of the intervention should be to educate the public on financial literacy. How do you manage your money? There will always be pressures. Some will have, you know, more leeway to deal with pressure. Some will not. Will have serious budget constraints.
Yeah.
But it's also important now to understand how to manage and how to maneuver within your budget constraint. Because sometimes we think that if we borrow, we are going to make life better for us. No. In fact, in many cases, we actually make life worse for us. We are putting ourselves in financial distress, and the importance of financial literacy cannot be overemphasized. And that's why government already in 2012 under the financial sector strategy came up with a financial literacy program, which is being spearheaded by the Minister of Finance, but you know supported by many stakeholders, especially in the financial sector industry.
Yeah.
We need to scale up this program so that we, you know, it reaches as many people as possible. Part of the initiative has also been to try and put this program in the curriculum of school, so that children are already taught when they're young on how to manage their money.
Yeah.
And maybe also put this in the curriculum of universities,
mm-hmm.
so that when people graduate and start to earn an income, they have the basics of how to manage their money.
Yeah.
So that's a very important question that you are raising.
Yeah, with the hearing that you are conducting, you are soliciting recommendation from the stakeholders. Once those recommendations are made, what happened next? How do they move now from recommendation to actually policy changes?
Very good. So yes, so what the committee is going to do is, once we have concluded the inquiry, we will put a report together, and that report will be presented in the chamber with recommendations from our committee as to what we think should be done to address the problem.
Mm.
So the chamber will debate that. If they agree with us, then those recommendations will be sent to specific institutions that are responsible for taking action. The National Assembly also have the right to add more recommendations.
Mm.
Yeah, so that, you know, whatever goes out there is something that has been approved and strengthened by the National Assembly as a whole, not only the committee. Now, thereafter, the recommendations will be sent by Parliament, by the Office of the Secretary of Parliament, to the respective institution. If, for instance, we are saying the law needs to be strengthened,
yeah,
and we know who is responsible for the law, it will be the Minister of Finance together with NAMFISA. So there will be a specific recommendation directed to the Minister of Finance to spearhead and take action in that regard.
Okay.
So whether the ministry is the ministry obliged or forced to do that? No, we don't have as Parliament we can only recommend. Unfortunately, in terms of the power that we have given to us by the Namibian Constitution, is to recommend.
Yeah.
And also oversee implementation. So the minister will have to come back to us and say, yes, I either I'm going to implement or I can't implement because of ABC.
Mm-hmm.
So that then becomes the conversation. So that's the road going forward. So that's the path that we have to follow. But I believe there will be goodwill on the government side. They will be able to listen to us where there are specific constraints why they will not be able to implement the recommendation of Parliament. I think there will be a conversation between us and the respective institutions.
So is there any other information maybe that I haven't asked you that you deem to be important to our listeners that I might have not asked you?
Well, I think we have covered a number of topics and subjects on these particular issues. So maybe my final words to my fellow Namibians is simply that yes, we understand that life is difficult. We struggle with the basics of life. But I also want to suggest that we should also be careful on contracting unnecessary loans, because they may end up may put us in financial distress. I would want to share a testimony that was shared with us by one of the people who came to the hearings, and I can reveal the name because it was also recently published in the media.
In the media, yeah.
A lady called Lydia Unjobala came to us and said that she's a cleaner in government. You know, she gave us a salary. You know, struggling. She had multiple loans and things like that. But then she said she also realized that, you know, having too many loans is not a solution. So she said, she started, a backyard garden where she's planting something. She's earning an additional income.
Yeah.
And this additional income is supporting her, first of all, to pay back her loans and also to supplement her income from government. And that's the message. I am not saying everybody can do that, but I believe if you are, a Namibian who is highly indebted, who is struggling with all these multiple loans that have to be paid back, so the solution is not to go and borrow again. That is just going to give you more problems.
Yeah.
The solution is probably to try and find additional income. And when you find that additional income, my advice will be pay off the loans because those loans are expensive. You'll end up losing more money than what you are earning. So pay off those loans, and then supplement your income with the income that is coming from those additional activities that you're undertaking, being a garden, whatever you are able to sell and make an additional income here and there.
Yeah.
So that will be my advice.
All right. Honorable Shimi, thank you for joining us and helping us really understand this important issue. So we appreciate your time and your willingness to engage with our listeners here on Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. Thanks for coming through, Riyam.
You're welcome, sir. And always willing to share with the public.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. That was Honorable Shimi Ipumbu Shimi, the chairperson of the Parliament Standing Committee on the Economy, Industry, Public Administration and Planning, giving us, talking to us about the household debt and lending practices. That has become a growing concern about the impact of this household debt, particularly among the civil servant. So, what is your take? What do you think? What is your take? Our telephone number is It's 08333-66091, 08333-66091. You are most welcome to come through now. You could be the civil servant that we're talking about, and give us, you know, your own testimony and of what is going on. And at least this has become a conversation. I think that's a very important thing. It has become a conversation, and let's push the conversation, you know, for where the law can also come in and be able to make a difference. As he said, that there is a gap in the law, and they have to look into that as well. So 08333-66091 is the number in the studio for your comment and for your reaction and your contribution.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. And our telephone number in the studio, if you would like to react to today's to the just concluded interview, is 083-66091, and we come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. So, yeah, he just ended with that story, according to the report, which is also in the I think widely reported in some of the newspapers, where the lady Lydia Ujumbala, she works at as a senior cleaner at the Katutura Intermediate Hospital, and she earns about 4,000 a month. So out of that money, she narrates her own story. She still have to pay rent, you know, transport, food, school expenses, and so on, you know, family emergencies and all that. So yeah, let's get to the clock quickly. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking Today. Sorry about this.
Good morning, Big Mike.
Just hold on. All right. Good morning. How are you, man?
I'm okay, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm even happy. South Africa would be qualified to the next round. Even though a lot of African people, they are not able to do that. I'm proud for our neighbors.
We didn't expect it, actually. So, but it's
Very much.
It's good to have them qualified, actually. So, to the next round, yeah.
Yeah, which is true. And the team which I was relying on, that they are doing better. It's DRC. I don't know what happened.
Which one is it? DRC Congo?
DRC. Yeah, they lost that game. But they are still having a chance to qualify if they beat the next opponent.
Yeah, I think the... Maybe the disappointing one is Senegal, actually. I was hoping Senegal to do better. They didn't do better than
not
expected.
At all.
Yeah. I think we have some African country actually qualified. Morocco probably qualified also.
Yeah.
Cabo Verde not yet, but Morocco.
Yeah, but they are still having a chance also. Yeah.
Morocco has qualified as well. South Africa has qualified as well. So
qualified also. Egypt also, they're still having chance also. The what? Algeria also can be.
Yeah, which is actually something that not for the first time, but we have a number of African, we would have actually a number of African countries that qualified to the next round.
More African countries are qualifying.
To the knockout stage. Yeah. So, Takarangone or Simone Amharompo. Yeah, and the most encouraging is the football that we play. It's the football that we also playing. There used to be a total difference. You know, you can see in the quality of football. Used to be a total difference. Big difference. There used to be a big gap, but now you can really see that we are there and we are competing. You know, yeah.
Which is true.
With the good football as well, yeah.
Very much. Mike, to Master Honorable, who was just talking for interview.
Yeah.
It's true, they are doing a great job to come up with a committee looking in these things. And again, I want them to extend the arm to one of the government prosecutors when it comes to some of us, we have a company which not getting anything. And you create a company where you are doing okay. Mm. Then you end up in debt. Like me, myself, I'm talking.
Yeah.
I was doing well. And then now when I released my company, now I'm having debt at Bipa, Namula.
Yeah.
Social Security. Yeah. I think if they also can extend in that arm to look at us, some of us, we didn't take a loan or anything, but we end up owing government processes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, okay, when you are looking at the people who are working public servants, I think they need also, as a committee, they need also to start looking at this between the salary gap. Because I'm telling you, we are not working, Mike. We are working in the one organization. But Mike is qualified to everything.
Mm.
But me, not even a biker what I'm qualifying for to buy.
Mm.
Doesn't make sense at all. And now you are talking about the government wage bill, which is so high.
someone actually told me, he owned the retailer shop, ne? And then he said, someone actually said, well, this is too expensive. He said, no, this is not expensive. It's just that the person who pays you haven't paid you enough to be able to afford this.
So, exactly. Yeah, because now
which does make sense. It's just that you're not paid enough to be able to afford this, you know.
I'm telling you. The moment that you see the... Mm-hmm. So
the cost of living actually goes up, and for many people, the salary hasn't changed. It remained the same. So that means, you know, if the bread was $9 and your salary was still a $100, and then when it's 12, you still have $100. Now it's about 14, now, you still 20. Have 100.
No, it's 20. It's 20, you're still having 100.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense at all. Yeah. And it is a problem, I think, Mike, already. Some of this committee, not only to look for the micro renders, but to look on what is really going on the whole sector. Because you cannot tell me why the people are going for micro renders. It's because they cannot afford.
Mm.
I'm telling you, we are talking about only even basic necessity.
Yeah.
Okay, let me say now, I'm getting 5,000, Mike, because this is equivalent some cleaners are getting from government.
That's even far.
Oh, it's even far, eh? You see? Let me say 4,000 now.
That's a blue collar, that's a blue collar post.
Okay, 4,000, you are living in window.
Yeah.
you are having a transport, you are paying land where you are residing. Okay, now you're also having family to feed. You're having kids, maybe like two kids. One is in kindergarten, one is what? Mike, is this money going to be enough? Seriously, 4,000. We are talking about 4,000. You have food to buy. No, man. No. Yeah. And but now the, you want the to blame
thing,
us.
But the other thing is that this is a much complex, it's a bigger issue rather than individual, rather than employee and employers. You understand?
Yeah.
Because the employers also looking at that, you know, the economy is not growing. I'm not getting, you know, my business is not growing because the economy is not growing.
Yeah.
And therefore, I have not enough money to pay the employers. So it's a really a very bigger complex. We're just looking, we're narrowing it on this now. Even when we're looking at, when we people go and borrow and get loans, we're looking at that. Why there's a bigger problem than just actually these people going to get loans. It's because
it's not only that, Mike. If you extend to enough, is that that's why our population remain where it is.
Yeah.
It cannot grow because people are thinking of if I bring extra mouth to be fed, and I'm already struggling with it, this one I have. Do I able that? Yeah. It's what I'm telling you. This is affecting us.
Yeah,
a lot. Not only economical wise, but I'm telling you, even population wise, talk.
That's
it's
why
so
I talk,
many.
I also ask him about mental health and whole question of because that would definitely affect people. It affect people living the quality of life people living is being affected by that. You know,
I'm telling you, that's why life expectancy now you find that only the young people are dying.
Yeah.
In Namibia, comparing to it's not a static with this, but just a look of things.
Yeah,
there are more young people who are dying than the older people.
Than the older
in Namibia.
People, that's true.
Yeah,
we are bearing one already over the weekend. You know,
that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
This is what is happening, and because I'm telling you, life is so hard, very very hard.
Mm.
Just imagine now, like you complete your school. And now you are sitting at home, sending CV day and day. It is really going to affect. And now you are blaming people why they are drinking too much.
Yeah.
My friend, this is a psychological effect. Because you are thinking
at one point, totally melolo, and we never know that it's going to go away.
It's going to.
It's going to. We
point.
Just thought that we have plenty and we eat. We eat.
Party everywhere. Seriously. Every day.
We just had a party, you know, for about 35, for 36 years, we just having a party. Eh? We didn't know that, you know, there will be a time when the party is over. Eh? So it just happened.
Now we are paying the price.
We are paying the price.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I know, Michael. Let me give other people a chance so they can come through.
All right. Thanks for coming, Sri.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah, no, we were having party. We think that the resources are unlimited. We thought maybe we have unlimited resources, and we go on a throwing party all the time. And I'm not talking about party literally, you know. It's just how we manage our resources. We think that Well, sometimes of the issues are not our own doing. So we have become a global village. We have become part of the global village, and there are so many other, you know, global shocks that are affecting, you know, that have impact on our economy and on what is going on. All right, so. Our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So, yeah. Now, let's look at the Microlenders Association. Now, let's be fair and give the Microlenders a chance to explain their side. Of course, that's what we do. That's how we do things on this show. Now, from what has been presented to the Parliament, the Microlender Association's defense rests on four main arguments, you know, and we can break that down. So it actually rests on four arguments. The first argument was that they say, okay, because they are being accused, kind of like the blame is put on their table. So now they say Namibia's debt problem is bigger than the microlenders. You know, according to them, people are struggling because of the rising living costs, which is true, something that we talk about, because of the low incomes, because of poor savings habit, and weaknesses in the credit system as well. So, and gaps in regulations. So there are so many other factors, you know, rather than just saying it's a micro lender's problem, you know. So that's one thing. That's the first argument. So, and their message is very, 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 very clear. Their message is simple. Don't just blame the lenders. Yeah. Look at the entire system. And this is what this committee is also trying to look at, according to Mr. Shimi. So that's the first argument, that, well, don't blame us. There's so much. There are other factors that are contributing to this whole problem. Now, the second argument is that they point to numbers. Okay, they point to numbers. They argue that microlenders account only about 10% of Namibia's household debt. Okay, they only account about 10%. Now, if that figure is correct, they say it is unfair now to suggest that microlenders are the main reason for many workers are drowning in debt. So if they only account for 10%. So that's the second argument. And the third argument, they say the real issue could be the salary deduction system, which Mr. Ipumpu also talked about. So these are the deduction codes that allow repayments to be taken directly from the workers' salaries before the money reaches their bank account, which, as the chairperson, Mr. Ipumpu, also indicated. Now, are we going to come back to this?
Anageshefa ya Namibia, ombito mbwa na wa olonjika. Zeitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe, yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konara heka tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. It's our time. It's about 31 minutes past the hour of nine. Yeah. So we're looking at the micro lenders actually rejecting the perception that they are the one that are responsible or to be blamed for the civil servant drowning in household debt. So, and they said no, don't blame us, don't blame the lenders. You know, look at the entire system. There are other factors that are contributing to that. So, and their third argument, as I said, they say that the real issue may be the salary deduction system. You know, and these are the deduction codes that allow repayments to be taken directly from the worker's salary before the money reaches their bank account. Now, the MLA, the Micro Lenders Association, argues that the government created the system. It's the government that has created the system, not the lenders. So now they also say that only a small share of loan paid out in 2025 use these deduction codes. So, and that most of the code holders, these are banks, these are larger financial institutions than actually small cash loan businesses. So it's just said, well, that blame is also misplaced. Okay, so look at your big financial institutions. Look at the banks; they are the one actually using this this system. So, yeah. Tavi kanyula kuchaye. No. We are not. So, and the fourth argument is that they insist that the registered micro lenders operate under the rule set by NAMFISA, which also the chairperson of the committee, of the standing committee, has from the interview also confirmed that, yeah, that's true, that they operate under that and they follow the rules set by NAMFISA. So, and in their view, they are regulated financially. They are regulated financial businesses. Not loan, they are not kind of like, so they are not, you know, loan shark or predators, you know, who just want to, you know, grab the people's money. So now, but when you look at this, when you look deeper into this, okay, then I think there are issues, there are bone we can chew here, you know, because on the surface, some of those arguments are reasonable. They are reasonable and deserve a consideration. I definitely agree that. So, but there are also, but here's a question that I think that's keep coming back to me. Now, if microlenders are responsible for only 10% of the country's debt, you know, why does that 10% seem to, and which actually the chairperson also mentioned, weigh so heavily on the people earning the least? Eh? Why do we keep hearing stories from the domestic workers, you know, cleaners, security guard, you know, farm workers, and other low-income earners who say debt has taken over their lives? Yeah. So these are not people with large home loans or expensive vehicle finance agreements. Yeah. Many of them are simply borrowing to get through the months. These are not the, you know. So maybe the real question isn't how big the slice is. Okay. It's not how big the slice is. Maybe the real question is who is carrying it? Eh? Who's carrying it? And that's where I would like to hear from you, actually. You know, if micro lenders make up only a small share of the country's total debts, Why do so many ordinary workers feel the impact so strongly? That's as he said, that's the start of a conversation. That's actually the start of the conversation. So, and there is an issue, and there is also an issue of, let's talk about the interest rate for a moment, okay? Because this is where many ordinary Namibians start asking really questions. All right? So, he talked about the prime time. Okay, now, under the current rules, okay, under the current rule, registered microlenders are allowed to charge interest rates of up to twice, as he said, up to twice the prime lending rate on a certain term, or on a certain term loans. So that's what he said. So that you're allowed to charge interest rate of up to twice the prime lending rate on a certain term loans. Now, the prime rate, for those who may not follow financial news closely, is the benchmark. Is the benchmark rate that banks charge their most reliable customers. Okay. Now, early this year, the prime rate stood at around 10%. Now, that meant that microlenders could legally charge up to 20% interest on the long-term loans. And he did explain that very well. Now, for a shorter term loans, for shorter loans, the picture look a little bit different, okay? It look a bit different. Loans that must be repaid within a few months can attract charges of up to 30% of the loan value, okay? So, which then, where I ask actually in terms of, because this is for, especially for those now that have, the repayment have to be done directly from the salary, why would be the charges be that expensive? I mean, that higher? Because there isn't any risk anywhere. There is no risk there. So, this is that's mostly maybe people charge then the microlenders then move more towards, you know, the 30% of the loan value. Okay. Now let's bring that down to everyday reality. Okay? Let's just see how that works. Imagine you borrow 1,000. You know, to cover your groceries, your transport, you know, school expenses, any emergency or any other emergency, depending on the type of loan, you could actually end up paying back. If you take actually 100, you could end up paying 1,200 or, you know, even 1,300. Now, this is before. You start looking at administration fees, initiation charges, insurance cost, and all other deductions that can appear. I mean, that can appear in those, you know, fine print. So that's before that. Eh? So don't just think, oh, okay, that's quite. No, there are a lot of other things that actually goes into that as well. So that's just before that. So, and there is another category of lenders that fall under different rules and faces interest rate limits. Okay, but for many workers working into a physical cash loan business, the rate they are mostly likely to encounter are the higher ones. Okay, as I said, they always go to the furthest. You know, they're mostly likely to use the 30% of the loan value. So now, to be clear, this rate are legal. Okay, it's not that it's Well, there are those that are operating illegally, but you know, but the rates are legal and they are allowed under the current regulatory framework. So, but legality, this is now the thing. Legality and fairness are not always the same conversations. And I think this is where also the parliament see that somewhere, somehow, there isn't fair. Yeah. So legality and fairness are not always the same, conversations. So, and that brings me to a question, you know. If a civil servant, let's say, for example, a teacher or a nurse or a police officer or another government employee, is considered reliable enough, because I'm saying reliable enough because the repayment can be deducted directly from their salary, you know, every month, then you are reliable enough. You are considered reliable because, you know, the micro lender don't have to wait, you know. So then where exactly is the level of risk that justify interest rates of 20 or even 30%? And is that, that's the question. Eh? That's the question that needs a conversation. So where is the justification of interest rate of 20 or even 30%? Because that employee is considered reliable. Is he considered reliable enough for repayment to be deducted directly from their salary every month? So that's the conversation that I think this committee should actually still take up. And that's the question many borrowers are asking. Eh? You know, think about that. Understand this, how it works, so that you question all this. Yeah? And it's a question that lawmakers are now asking too. So I would like to hear your thoughts. I would definitely love to hear your thoughts. If lenders have direct access to repayment through the salary system, should borrowers still be paying interest rate at those levels? Do you understand that? Or do the lenders have a point when they say the risk and cost of the lending justify the charges? Do they have a point? Okay. Not many of us actually understand finance. yeah. So, yeah, I understand that. Yeah. So, yeah. But then we also have to look at... now there is, this is also where I think we need to give the Micro Lenders Association some credit, I think. Yeah, I think we need to give them some credit, because on one point they are absolutely right. Namibia's debt crisis is much bigger than micro lending industry. It is actually much bigger. So, and to be honest, we are dealing with deeper economic problems. Unemployment remain higher. Inequality remain among the highest in the world. You know, too many people are struggling to find decent paying job. You know, too many households are trying to survive on incomes that simply do not stretch far enough. You know. So, and as I said, the micro lenders are right. And that no single lender now created those problems. It's not the lenders that actually created those problems. And during the hearings, the committee heard that payday loans made up a large majority of the new loans being issued. So that tells us something important. So it suggests that many people are not borrowing to buy asset. Eh? They are not borrowing to buy asset or to buy or to start business or to build wealth, you know. They are borrowing to get through the month. Eh? we are doing like what our country is doing. We're just following the way exactly our country is doing. We are borrowing to get through the month, just as our country does. Yeah? So they are borrowing for food. They are borrowing for transport. They are borrowing for hospital expenses or school expenses or emergency expenses. So they are borrowing because the salary runs out before the month does. Just before the month does, the salary runs out. And that's the reality of the majority. And that's where I think the argument about weak, you know that weak saving habit, it starts to become difficult. It starts honestly start to become difficult. So because how do you save money when there is no money left to save? How do you save money when there is no money left to save? And sometimes when people that are talking about, when they talk about, you know, save, this person, the money runs out before the month does. It's not that he's spending some kind of booze or whatever. It's just that the money is not enough. First, you need to talk to me. How do I have to get more money to be able to save? Because I don't get enough. And even when sometimes when you talk about, okay, stay in your limit. So the needs are just so huge already than what I can, than what I gain, than what I earn. So let's say, for example, you have about now you are in a pensioner. Or dumping one on a very bad tunnel or something like that from your from wherever. You're dumped about five kids and you only five children of different ages and you only get about 1.7, you know, a month. So the mouth that you feed, it's already more than what you can, than what you are earning. So, and how do you save? How do you save money when there is no money left actually to save? That's what I'm saying. How do you build a financial cushion? When they talk about financial cushion, something that, you know, I'm also encouraging people to. Financial cushion, when your entire income is already actually spoken for, it's already spoken for before paydays arrives. It's already spoken for before the payday arrives, my dear. Which sometimes you don't even know before the payday comes. So you cannot expect people to save, you know, you cannot expect people to save their way out of situation where their wages no longer cover the basics. It's just that your wages now don't cover the basics. And that's not a saving problem. I think it's not a saving problem. That is an income problem. Actually, that's, I think people have a, I think, okay, that just come to my mind. It's not a saving problem. It's actually an income problem. So people that have no saving problem, they have income problem. And that's a cost of living problem as well. And that's an economic problem. And this is important. It's important. We should not stop the conversation there. We shouldn't stop the conversation. Say, acknowledging the bigger economic crisis does not automatically clear lenders of responsibility also. It doesn't clear them. They have a responsibility as well. The fact that people are desperate, you know, explain why they take loans. Now it doesn't automatically justify every lending practice that may place additional pressure on a struggling household. You know, in other words, two things can be true at the same time. You know, the economy is failing many ordinary people. It's failing many ordinary Namibians. But, and some lending practices may be making the hardship, you know, even worse. So, as I said, both you know, two things can be true at the same time. So we do not have to choose between those two realities. In fact, if we are serious about solving the problems, we have to confront both. Eh? We have to confront both. So, now let me ask you, when people are borrowing just to buy food, pay, you know, school expenses or get to work, is the real problem the lender, the borrower, or the economic condition that leave people with no option, with no other option? Now, think about this, really. And think about my question. Is the real problem the lender, the borrower, or the economic condition? The economic condition that leave people with no other options. I would like to hear your thought. Eh? What is your thought? 08333-66091. 08333-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are.
Is that the mic? That's the mic, huh?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, yeah. So welcome, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, sorry to come back. Yeah. Because I think people maybe they get paid.
Yeah, it's money when it comes to technical things, you know.
People,
when it comes to politics, that's where you get, you know, people fired up.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah, money thing, they don't want to talk about it. But this is what is affecting us every day.
It's pain in your pocket, you know. Yeah.
You know your question, yeah?
Yeah.
This is an economic problem because leaving no people with option.
Exactly.
Yeah, because if you look calendar what you are facing in Namibia, we are facing only even, not the money even, to take money to invest in for future. It's money for handing to buy something for that time, to get a month by.
Yeah, it's for food. It's only for basics. Eh?
Yeah, for basics. Mm. Yeah, which is totally wrong. Because remember one thing: if you take a loan for investment, maybe like you take a loan just to buy, maybe even like a ginger pan to put in the road.
Yeah,
that is a good investment because you are getting your return. Yeah, and you're able
you
to
may
pay
repay the loan from that investment, yeah.
From that investment, mm-hmm. Yeah, which you are making.
Yeah.
But if you are getting money to buy food,
you are going to loan again to pay back.
Exactly.
That's why the people find themselves in that cycle. Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's why they're having three or four loans.
Mm.
Because you go to this one, you get 500. The other one, you get 1.5. And now you are coming to pay the 500 and that loan, you left with 1,000. Mm. And now you are forced to, again, to go so you can keep up one for one with 1.5. You see? It's a problem, I think. And sometimes I think with you, it's economical pressure which we find ourselves. Because you cannot tell me in a country where you find the majority about, like, what? 48 or something percent unemployment. And now you are having Namibian equivalent and compared to Dubai, which are more developed country. More than far, far, far from that. We cannot even compare to ourselves or to South Africa.
Yeah.
But just imagine you are being compared to Dubai. And then now you live in the country where you have a huge gap between rich and poor.
Yeah, really? So in a country like Namibia, really, it's unacceptable. We tolerate the mediocre, you know. Namibian really tolerate mediocre.
I'm telling you.
And it's on us. And for me, I always said it's on us. We let ourselves be where we are.
Exactly.
We could do far, far, far better with a population of 3 million.
Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah. Now, that's why in this morning I was also even fed up a bit, like, guys, why we never even demonstrate things which are happening like now? You know, the later Hage, he was going to be build a house for us. It's costing something million. Then now it's a additional law. Now I'm wondering now what Hage these guys are talking about. If Hage is already gone to heaven or wherever he finds himself.
Yeah.
Now you are building a house for who? Huh? Costing a lot of taxpayer money again. We in the country, we're having people who are cannot find a house. I mean, cannot find anything, but you are spending in one, first six, a person who is already gone. Ish, aye. That's what I'm saying. We let this thing. And then you are correct when you are saying the blame is about to be on us. It's what is true.
Yeah,
because we are tolerating a lot of nonsense which is happening to these people who are trying to enrich themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I think what
it's
happened,
like there's someone, I think I listened to someone who was saying that we know the people that we are going to vote, for example, people we are going to vote, we know their capability, but when they are in power, we are complaining why we're not getting service. You know,
But we know ourselves already what we are doing.
Yeah, but we know exactly because the people that we're putting there are not competent enough to deliver.
I'm telling you.
More like that in Africa. Someone was saying that we know people we are putting there are not competent enough to deliver, but we're still doing it. So,
doing it again. Yeah. And now we complain later. we know that they are not going to do anything. Mike.
Yeah.
But there is, when it comes to this Michael Lendon, I think we need just a literacy when it comes to money, financial literacy. It's needed. Because some of them, they are having a good pay. Just imagine somebody who's not working even for government or whatever, doesn't have an employment. How does he live? I mean, Mike is living by day by day. But you are having a person who is already having salary, but still in the press.
Yeah.
This, I think somehow...
Someone actually called them working poor. Those are working poor.
Which is true, because sometimes there's a plan. You have to come up with a plan. That's why I'm saying, that's why in this country we have people who have been working for more than what? 40 years. Then you're just waiting until your retirement. Come on, there are so many things which you can do with your what? The salary which you are getting, investment that you can invest for what? More than 5 years, you're still getting something out of it.
Yeah. I mean, the problem people are very poor. Like the problem that you were talking about, you know, you wouldn't be where you are if you have access to financing.
I'm telling you.
You know? I mean, you are made poor just because the condition that has been created. For you are not helping you to grow.
Hey, I'm telling you, that's why I'm always complaining about
you. And that's what you were saying.
Why they eat up with me being, will we know that that was a way out of our poverty.
Yeah.
They shut it down. They know what exactly they are doing to keep us where we are.
You're a work in poverty. Who used to say they are manufacturing poverty? You know, it's a way, the system actually to help you, it's actually manufacturing poverty, you know?
Because it's like, you know, where how life is working, man.
Yeah.
The person who is having money, he doesn't know how to increase his poor. There are some, I'm not saying all of them, but there are just some poor people who can see that, yes, this person is lucky enough to get the opportunity, but the way he's spending, the way he's thinking of doing business, even. If you come to Evelyn, you see, there, I don't want to mention, but I know, maybe you know Evelyn well. You can see some upstairs and then you are like, oh, this guy, you're putting up a bar here instead of putting up something to compete with that retailer which is there, which is crossing on this time. So yours can even go up to 10.
Yeah.
You see? Then now, that's why you see young people are coming up with a good services. And now we wonder why even a mall was built that side. Those are things which I'm saying. Some of us, we have an idea, but the problem is the capital to start with. Yeah. Okay, now you come, you put up, you try your best to even to go to the extent where you are creating a company. To come up with a company, now you are in debt because of what? because of trying to be transparent. You see? This is a problem I think we have in Namibia. And when you look at that, we have a way, if you are tendering, that car 300 now non-refundable, 500 non-refundable. You end up, I'm telling you, just like the way our students, our graduates are going to for interview.
Yeah.
You take money from Mike, you go for this interview, you didn't succeed. Now you are waiting for an interview also in Rundu. Yeah, again, you're from Rundu to Ketiman. You see? Just like that.
Yeah, my dear. Yeah.
Then you want to say the person is not going to be stressed. Or there are so many things I think really our government can do, man. But I'm telling you, even that 2 million which is been wasted in NYC, it can be investment for youth or people who are doing business or anybody want to take up a loan. Seriously.
And in Namibia, we're not talking about millions. We're talking about thousands. We're not talking about million really. Yeah, we're talking about thousands of people. Eh?
I'm telling you.
And sometimes if you compare your resource, Namibia, our resource, natural resources or whatever, you know, it's far bigger than countries that some are doing well. You know,
yeah.
with a population of
100
or 35 million people or something like that. Eh? So you just said we just bad. We just honestly just bad. Yeah,
we are bad. Seriously, but not. I think also the lack of what leadership skill.
Yeah, no,
we don't have
true.
A leadership.
And that's
yeah,
not
we
only,
don't have
that's
that.
Not only Namibia. That's all over
yeah.
Africa. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think for us we are doing the most worse than ever, because our population is too small, man. Just imagine the way we are. Comparing to Botswana, which Botswana we know doesn't have much resources, but they are doing better than us.
Yeah, man. Times it's
all right.
It's France time now. Yeah. Mm.
Okay, Mike.
All right. Thanks for coming through. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Yeah. That brings us to today's end. To today's end of an Unpacking the Day show. Thank you, Tate Shimi, so for making time to come through and talk to us about that. And thanks for those who have come through also to contribute on the program. As I always said, so you made the program. So and all our programs, that's they're here. It's definitely for you. And you are most welcome to always come through and have your reaction or your contribution on the topic that we are bringing you. All right, let's do this tomorrow again at the same time from 8 to 10. And then, from me, Michael Chiavelli, I wish you a very pleasant day ahead. So, yeah. All right. Goodbye.